Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. You and I, as the children of God, we are to pray without ceasing. There is not to be a time in our lives when we don't pray. Did you ever notice that usually when we pray, it's when we have things going rough. When things start going bad, that's when we think about calling upon the Lord. Well, certainly we can do that. We can call upon the Lord when we're in trouble. And in fact, the Bible teaches us that if we are in trouble, that we do call upon the Lord, because He is our help in trouble. And as we think of that, let's not forget that although that's true, that we should call upon Him even in our times of prosperity. We should pray without ceasing. Pray constantly. Stay in an attitude of prayer. I was out witnessing with a pastor one night, and this has been several years ago, and we were driving along, and I was driving the car, and we were getting ready to visit a home. Some folks needed to be saved, and he said, let's pray. So he bowed his head, and he started praying. He got finished. He opened his eyes. He looked at me. He said, "You rascal, you didn't even have your eyes closed." And I was driving the car, and I said, "Well..." I said, I was in an attitude of prayer. I want you to know that. I said, I was praying, and he gave me a rough time. I hadn't been saved too long, but I knew that I was supposed to pray without ceasing. But I was in an attitude of prayer. And you see, we can pray with our eyes open, can't we? We can pray as we drive down the road, pray at the kitchen sink, pray at the kitchen table. We can be in an attitude of prayer at all times. Now, pray without ceasing. What is prayer? Let's look at something this morning. What is prayer? Well, I think a good definition is that it's the expression of our desires to God. That's what prayer is. Now, we're not talking about supplication so much this morning. Supplication is taking a need to God, supplicating Him. In other words, beseeching Him. Prayer, in the sense that I want you to think of it this morning, is the expression of our desires to God. What we desire. Someone has said that we shouldn't expect to get our desires from God. We just should expect to get our needs. I believe that we not only receive our needs, but according to the Bible, we also receive the desires of our heart. Let's not sell God short. We have a great God this morning. You and I as Christians, we have the greatest privilege that anybody could ever have in this world, and that is going to a God who will not only supply our needs, but He will grant our desires. Now, understand something. When we're walking in His will and we're doing what He would have us to do, His desires become our desires. And I don't think we'll pray anything out of the way. In other words, when we're praying and we ask God to supply our desires, we're actually praying for His desires. And it works hand in hand that way. We don't pray wrongly, in other words. Well, how does our prayers reach God? Now, a lot of these things that I'm mentioning is very fundamental this morning. It's very simple. And a lot of you have known this for a long time, but we forget these things. We just sort of let them slide by, and we need to be reminded. How does our prayers reach God? Well, it's through our mediator, through the help of the Holy Spirit. Our mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. You don't come to Pastor Woodard and ask me to take a petition to God for you. Now, it's not wrong to go to another person and say, "Would you pray with me about something? Would you take a petition to God and ask Him, we'll claim this promise together, and would you help me pray about something?" But don't ever go to a man or a woman, or anybody for that matter, and expect them to answer your prayer. There's only one person that you can go through to get your prayers answered, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't go to a man. Don't go to him and bow down and expect that man to get your prayers answered. It must be through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we take our prayers and we present them, we kneel down or however we're positioned. By the way, it's not the position of the body that counts in prayer. It's the position of the heart. We can be standing up, and our hearts can be bowed down to God. And I believe that's scriptural. You go through the Word of God, and you'll find that there's several positions of prayer. There's standing up. There's kneeling down. I even read that the people is being laying on their backs praying. They're on their faces praying. And there's several positions of prayer. But the important thing in each of those instances, those people's hearts were right with God. They were bowed to God. But as we think about taking the petitions to God, We go through the mediator, the man Christ Jesus. The Bible says that he is able to feel our infirmities because he was tempted in all manner like we are tempted. He's able to relate to us. The Holy Spirit's job is to be the divine translator. He takes our petitions. Did you ever get so burdened down that you just didn't feel like you could pray, and you just really didn't know how to pray, but you know there was a need. There was a need, and boy, you just said, God, I just don't know what to pray for. I don't know how to pray. Just, Lord, help me. And we just start praying something like that, and I believe it's that time that the Holy Spirit can really do his job. I believe it's right then that he can be touched. The Lord can be touched with a feeling of our infirmities. And as the Holy Spirit takes that petition to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we see the Lord Jesus Christ taking that into the presence of God himself. And the reason he can do that is because he was offered on the cross of Calvary. Would you notice something else? Why should we pray? Why should we pray? Well, it's one reason is to bring us in communion with God, individuals, our family, and our nation. Stop and think just a minute. Think back this past week, if you would. Has there been a time when you started to pray? And now there's a difference in what I said a few minutes ago about you want to pray and you just don't know what to pray and all this. There's a difference in that and being out of fellowship with God. We have a need of prayer, but sometimes we just don't feel like we're going. I mean, we just don't think it. We just don't want to pray. We just don't think it's important to pray. Well, when we are in an attitude of prayer, this reason God says pray without ceasing. Because if we are in an attitude of prayer constantly, we're going to stay in right relationship to God. You're not going to want to go to God in prayer if you are out of fellowship with him. And so I see that prayer, actually, God will use prayer to bring us into communion with him, into fellowship. And then as we come into fellowship with him, we're brought into communion or fellowship with individuals, those people around us. We're brought into fellowship with our families. Oh, you really want to have a time to say, how can I get my family together? We argue, we bicker, we quarrel. Get in an attitude of prayer. Pray and talk to God and ask him to help you. And as you're in that attitude of prayer, you're going to find out that it's going to help your family too. And not only that, it's going to help your nation. We'll read that verse that Joe read in just a moment, 2 Chronicles. But secret prayer is good. Secret prayer is very good. Paul reminds us that secret prayer, now it's important for us to pray together here. Public prayer, praying together. I mean, there's just something about that just gives us strength. We draw strength and we take courage knowing that other people are praying. But there comes a time when we need secret prayer. There's things that I need to unload to God, personal things. I need to just tell God all about my cares and all about my problems and all about the things that I need him to help me with. And it's personal. There's things that I don't even tell my wife that I tell God. It's not that I'm keeping secrets from my wife. It's that this is something that is so intimate. It's so personal. It's between me and God. Would you look in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6 with me? 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. Now Paul the Apostle is getting ready to be offered. And as he's getting ready to be offered, his head's getting ready to be cut off. Now, we often think of someone screaming, hollering. We don't know what we would do when we get down to the position Paul the Apostle was in, where he's getting ready to be offered up. But Paul the Apostle didn't get in a rage. He didn't get real excited because he knew that the time was short. And back in verse 1 of chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Now, I suppose that Paul the Apostle is, to me, one of the greatest men who ever lived, who ever walked the face of this earth. And if we study his epistles, we'll find out that the reason that he stayed calm was because he stayed in an attitude of prayer, and he believed in private prayer. It could have been that one of the reasons he believed in private prayer is because he spent so much time in solitary confinement. You know, when he was arrested, he was placed in those dungeons and things. And I believe he discovered a secret. He discovered that when he didn't have flesh and blood, or, you know, the flesh to be around him, when there was nobody there to touch physically or to shake hands with or to embrace, he found that it was possible to have secret communion with God and draw strength that way. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ when he came to the woman at the well, Samaria? His disciples had gone after food. He led that woman to the Lord while they were gone. And they came back with the food, and strangely enough, he wasn't hungry. And they said, they reasoned among themselves, did anyone else bring him any food? Has anyone else been here to feed him? And the statement's made there that he had food that they didn't know about. He had something that man couldn't give him. And there's going to come a time possibly in your life when you're going to need something that man's not going to be able to help you with. And you need to learn now to go to God privately and in your prayer closet. Take your petitions to him. Take your desires to him. Take your needs to him. Learn to pray privately with God. And by the way, prayer is not talking simply to God. It's talking with God. As we talk with God, he speaks back to us through that still small voice and through his word. I believe that when we pray, that we should have the scriptures with us. One great preacher was asked, "What about your sermons? What do you attribute the greatness of your sermons? How do you attribute that?" And he says, "I'm not great, first of all." He says, "It's the Word of God that's great. My sermons grow out of the book." And he says, "Before a sermon is formulated in my mind and my heart," he says, "it grows out of prayer." He says, "My prayer grows out of the Scriptures." We need to study and read the Scriptures. That's God speaking to us, and then we speak back to God. If we learn that, we've learned a great secret of life. Now, notice something else. Do you think that it would do any good to call on prayer and pray for our nation? Our nation's in a terrible shape. And I believe that you and I, as the children of God, if we would humble ourselves, as the Scriptures already said this morning, and seek God's face and pray, then God will hear from heaven. Would you look back with me once again to 2 Chronicles 7:14? "My people, which are called by my name," that's us, we are Christians. We are people who have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. He's speaking to you and I. Some people will say, he's talking to the Jews there. Look, it says, "If my people who are called by my name," that's me, that includes me. I'm one of his people. I have been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That makes me his. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Now, in just a minute, I want us to look at some hindrances to prayer. I believe that if you and I, as the children of God, would get serious and pray and really seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways, I believe that with all of my heart that we'd see a change in our country. It would have to be. There would have to be a change. I believe before this is going to happen, though, there will have to be a revival in our midst. A revival. The people of God being revived. This is a result of revival. Here's what we're reading in verse 14. "When revival comes, the people will repent. They will turn from their sins. They will seek God's face. And God will heal the land." And I'm praying for revival in America. You need to be praying for revival. God Start revival. And Lord, here I am. Start it in me. Help me have to have revival, Lord. As we have revival, we're going to see a change take place. Look over in Romans 8:26. Now I want to read a few verses in connection with this. Let's read Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, or Himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. With groanings. And this is what I was speaking of a few minutes ago. If I were to ask you today, what's wrong with our country? No doubt you would name a few things. But there's probably not a person in this room, including me, that could name everything that's wrong with our country. But if we would get serious with the Lord and pray for God to heal our land, we don't have to know the specifics. All we need to know is that needs to be done. The Spirit will help us with our infirmities. In other words, He will help us with our lack of knowledge on that subject. That's the reason when somebody stands and they say, "Would you pray? I have an unspoken request." I don't need to know what that request is. God knows. He already knows what it is. But He wants us to take it to Him, that petition. He wants us to ask. Now look in Ephesians chapter 6. I believe if there's one thing in our lives to save people, this is one thing that we need to capitalize on. We need to capitalize on prayer. We need to pray. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Who are we to pray for? Now notice. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. If you remember, usually I don't let a service go by but what I say. Pray for each other. You ever notice that? I make a request to you folks out there. Pray for each other. Pray for that person next to you. Pray for that person that's not here tonight. Pray for the saints of God. And that's scriptural. The Bible says we are to pray for the saints. That's each other. And notice it also says that Paul says, pray for me. Pray for me. Now, he's not asking people to pray for him because he's selfish and because he's wanting a lot of riches and things like this. But he's saying, pray for me as a preacher. Pray for me as a man of God. Why? That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I covet your prayers, if I could use that word. I desire your prayers this morning as a preacher. I preach when a lot of you people don't realize I'm preaching. I'll be preaching tomorrow night at Crossroads Mission. I need your prayers there. If there's ever a place that needed the gospel, that place needs the gospel. And to be quite frank with you, there's a lot of perversion that goes on in the Crossroads Mission with men who will come in there and pervert the gospel. And this is well-known knowledge. This is common knowledge. And then when a man of God goes there and presents the gospel, there's an opposition. What is the opposition? It's the devil. And I need your prayers that I may speak boldly, that utterance can be made so that lives will be changed, souls can be saved, people can go to heaven. That's what Paul the Apostle is talking about. Tuesday night we'll be at Roseberry Circle again. Wednesday night back here. And there's several weeks that I preach every night. I desire your prayers that the Word of God may go and have free course, that souls can be saved. And by the way, preaching not only goes forth from a pulpit, but it goes forth as this book is opened up and that blessed story is shared, that love story above all love stories is shared with lost individuals of this world, telling them the sweetest story ever told, how that Jesus died for sinners. That's preaching, and that's another reason you need to pray for your brothers and sisters in God, so that those who are opening the Word can have free course and tell others how to be saved. Well, there's several verses that we could look at about under the subject, do you think it'd do any good to pray? I don't really believe there's a person in this room that would deny the fact that prayer is something that's necessary. It's a very necessary thing for our Christian life. And if we're not doing it, we're missing out on one of the greatest blessings, one of the greatest privileges that God has ever given to mortal man. Did you ever stop and think? We go back in the Old Testament and we read about Moses. How that God gave Moses the privilege of going up into the mount. He says, now Moses, you come up in the mount and I'm going to meet you there. I'm going to talk with you there. Here's the people down underneath the mount now. They couldn't go up there. They couldn't go up and talk to God. Moses was privileged. He got to go into the mount. But say, did you know that we have that same privilege? God says that every child of God has the privilege of going to the mount now and talking with God. But we don't take advantage of it, do we? We just simply don't do it a lot of times. Let's have the attitude of prayer. Let's pray without ceasing. Let's look at something now. Before we do this, Brother Bill, let's all stand just a moment. And I'd like for you to shake hands with that person next to you and that person behind you. Psalm 66. Let's very briefly look at some hindrances to prayer. What are some basic hindrances to prayer? In Psalm 66 and verse 18, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I, as a child of God, harbor sin, if I make a covering for sin, if I'm trying to cover up sin in my life, if I'm harboring it in my heart, if there's something in my life that I know to be specifically wrong. Now remember, 1 John chapter 1 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess that sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of that sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, well, it's a losing battle. God says if we regard iniquity, if we have sin in our hearts, then he won't hear us. But on the other hand, he says that there's nobody without sin. Well, that's the reason that on Wednesday nights we're going through the study on the book of 1 John. Because in chapter 2, we understand that God says, although we do have sin in our lives, it is not a hopeless situation. The Bible teaches us that we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not only the one who takes our petitions to God, but he's also the one who cleanses us. He is the one who makes us able to offer our petitions to God. Now, if there's a sin that is weighting you down as a Christian, if there's a specific weakness in your life, if there's a specific offense against God, and that's what sin is, by the way, it's an offense against God. If it's there, you need to get rid of it. You need to claim the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Habits are hard to break, and you need to turn it over to God. So one man has said the only reason that we keep a habit that is not pleasing to God is because we want to keep it. Somebody says, I just can't stop it. I just can't do it. Well, according to the Word of God, after we get saved, God makes it possible for us to stop those things. Now, I didn't say it was easy, because first of all, you must have a willing heart and say, I want to do it. I want to get rid of it. And then as we get rid of it, we have to go to God in prayer and ask him to help us with it and to stay rid of it. But if there's a sin in your life that is weighting you down, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It can be most anything. If you have ill feelings towards someone, the Bible says if you hate someone or if you don't like that person, if you would like to just do them in, you need to get rid of that. That's wrong. The Bible says you've already committed murder in your heart. I regard iniquity in my heart. God will not hear me. That's a hindrance to prayer. Now notice in Isaiah 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Doesn't say a lost person, now it says you. It says you as a saved person. Sin in your life, willful sin, will cause God not to hear your prayer. Let's read it again. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. I don't think there's any better illustration as to the illustration about the clouds and the sun. We say, is the sun shining today? No, it's not shining today. Why is it not shining? Well, the clouds are there, and we can't see the sun. You know, it's getting ready to rain and everything. But the fact of the matter is, the sun is shining. The sun is there. We just can't see it for the clouds. And that's the way it is with iniquity in our hearts. When we have iniquity there, the clouds of sin hides His face from us. He's still there. The sun's still there. We just don't see the sun. The Lord is still there. We just don't see His face because of the cloud of sin in our lives. We need to get rid of that cloud. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, God will not hear us. Go back to, remember, 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says that we need to turn from our wicked ways, and then God will hear from heaven. Did you know that there are three detergents in the Bible? The blood of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Word itself. Jesus says, now are you clean through the Word, which I have spoken unto you. And the old saying is that this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the book. And that's as plain as anybody could ever put it, because when we get into the Word of God, it cleans us up. When we start studying the Word of God, it takes those things in our lives, it points out things that are wrong, and it starts cutting away. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharpening two-edged sword, piercing, dividing, and it goes down to the deepest recesses of the soul and lets us know what we need to do in our lives to be living godly for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I see one hindrance to prayer is iniquity, sin. And look at something else in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. Now, this is a model prayer that Jesus gave His disciples. I'm going to be preaching from this soon. And there's some things in there that I believe that we overlook sometimes. But the thing I want you to see this morning in verse 5 says, when thou prayest, Matthew 6, 5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Another hindrance to sin or to prayer is insincerity. We go to God and we're insincere. We go to God and it's just like, ho-hum, you know, here's another prayer. You know, well, I pray so much. And one fellow started this deal about being insincere. Well, it originated with the devil, I'm sure. But there's one fellow who started out, he wanted to, we got a Paul. You got any more Pauls in here? Let's see. Okay, we got one Paul. Brother, I hate to say it. Paul the Simple, okay? Not him, okay? There was a fellow of the name of Paul the Simple. This guy, he did a lot of things silly, but not this Paul now, understand, okay? What's your middle name? Start calling you by your middle name. This fellow said, I want to make sure that I pray enough, so he put 300 pebbles in his pocket. True story. And every time he'd pray, he'd transfer one of them to the other side. He'd pray and he'd transfer one. He always did this every day. He'd pray 300 times. He'd pray and put one in his pocket and bring another one over and put it in his pocket. And say, there's some people who still do that. You know what that is? Huh? Did you hear the beads? By the way, that's where the beads came from. Paul the Simple. Guy taking one pebble out of his pocket and putting it over. And to make it easier, some people didn't have pockets. So they got the necklaces and the beads. And they started slipping one bead around here and one around here. And so therefore, they pray so many times a day. That's insincere, folks. When we go to God, we need to go to God and pray and be serious with Him. So when we go to God, let's go sincerely. Let's go realizing that He is God. And that it's a very important matter. And it's a very important thing that we do. Go to Him. Quickly, let me name a few other things and we're going to close. James 4, verses 3 and 4, talks about carnal motives. We have a carnal motive. James 1, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, unbelief. Well, I'll pray, but I really don't think it's going to do any good. I've prayed before, and it hasn't helped before. Well, that's unbelief. Probably the reason it didn't work before is because you prayed in unbelief the first time. You need to pray believing. And then in Daniel chapter 8, chapter 10, or verse 10, we see that satanic activity a lot of times hinders our prayers. Satan will actually hinder our prayers. And then, I think this is very important. Would you write this down and look it up today? 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. One of the greatest hindrances to prayers in the homes today is domestic problems, marital problems. That is one of the greatest hindrances to prayer. It says if you as a husband and wife, if things are not going exactly right between you two, your prayers will be hindered. And that's the reason that we need to have strong homes. We have strong homes, then we have strong churches. Why does the church have so much problems? Why do we see so much bickering and quarreling and arguing going on in churches today? Well, we do trace it all back to sin and Satan. But it goes back to the home. If we have strong homes, then we're going to have strong churches. And that's the reason that we need to stay close to the Lord in our homes. You spend more time at home than you do here. And you need to stay close to God at all times. Let's bow for prayer right now and ask His blessings on this morning. And next week, possibly I'll bring you a lesson from chapter 6 of Matthew. I'm praying about that. And as God's people, let's stay in an attitude of prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. It should be our heart's desire this morning. Father, we do thank You today for the great privilege of prayer. Lord, I realize that there's much more that could be said about prayer. Lord, I'm so grateful for the examples that's been left us down through the ages of great men and women who have learned to pray. And Lord, we ask You, as the apostles did, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, help us to stay in an attitude of prayer. Father, we pray that souls would be saved, lives changed, and Christians strengthened. Lord, help us to pray for each other. Help us, Lord, to leave here today in an attitude of prayer, being thankful that You are our God.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. You can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.